36.03 more hours to go. Just a day and a half more. Piece of cake. They'd been up for a week now, and he was starting to feel the drag of home pulling him back harder than ever. Homesick, he thought. Hey, the homesick astronaut. Not a bad title for a book. He had always wanted to write one. After all, everyone was doing it these days and making a fortune. Mitch leaned back in his seat and peered out the shuttle cockpit window. The glass was magnificently clear, even though the orbiter's portal windows were triple-paned, super-hardened optical-quality glass. He knew if he wasn't wearing the bulky suit gloves and pressed a hand against it, it would still feel numbingly cold and fragile. There were 37 window panes in 11 different sizes and shapes on the shuttle, and all of them acknowledged as a point of possible engineering failure. Just a few sheets of glass between me, a vacuum, and certain death, he sighed. He reached up to tap the glass, safe as a bank. The shuttle orbiter technology was considered rock solid these days. On the space hazard risk identification scale, where a low score equaled low risk, it rated 6.5 out of 10. Now, human beings, they were a whole different kettle of onions. We poor shaved apes right up at 7.2. There's your higher risk factors right there. He inhaled a deep breath and then let it out slowly. They were a risk. The glass was a risk. Up here, every goddamn thing was a risk. Like it or not, they were in a metal shell, orbiting 333 miles above Earth and hurtling along in orbit at 17,500 miles per hour. He smiled dreamily. Space was so vast, and everything looked frozen in place. There was nothing but pinpricks of light showing through to a blanket of black velvet. At least with the windows, they got to see out, which was some compensation. But still, everything was primarily run on autopilot or from NASA HQ. And in space, nothing ever seemed to change. So really, their biggest challenge was fighting boredom. Flight engineer Jerry Fifield floated back to his seat, pulling himself in and throwing a belt over his shoulder to stay in place. He started to press buttons, reading data from a screen. He spoke without turning. Beth is nearly finished back there, Skipper. Thank God for that, said Mitch. Wearing this suit is a bitch. He stretched, trying to get comfortable in the bright orange Mesa's suit, or modified advanced crew escape suit. They were the new design, and nothing like the silver or white Michelin Man suits of old. But the vacuum of space was a killer, and it needed to be kept out at all costs, and that meant wearing the modern equivalent of a suit of armor. Mission specialist Beth Power was back in the Bay Area, running some experiments that required the payload delivery doors to be open, and the bay doors being open meant spacesuits on everywhere in the ship. Mitch turned. How's Noah's Ark? Jerry smiled back. Larry and Moe are running miles, Curly Joe is taking a nap, and Mustang Sally is just hanging out as always. Plus our creepy crawlies are doing their creepin' and crawlin' thing. Jerry raised his eyebrows. All creatures, great and small, are all present and accounted for. Never work with animals or children. Who was it said that? Mitch grinned. Either W.C. Fields or Miley Cyrus. One of the greats anyway. Returned Jerry. Noah's Ark was right. They had three mice, Larry, Moe, and Curly Joe, a teenage sloth named Mustang Sally that may one day hold the key to long-term hibernation, and a panoply of ants, cockroaches, mantes,